America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us. Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org.
I want to show you something.
Each day around the world, 5,000 people are infected with HIV.
That was over 20 years ago.
We've come a long way in the science and treatment of HIV.
But the disease hasn't gone away.
So why aren't we talking about it?
Today, we have the tools to make HIV history.
Let's finish what we started.
Because the world needs you to live.
The Miracle Medical Clinic is a clinic that has been providing quality healthcare services to the Houston area since 1996. In a comfortable environment, they are dedicated to helping you live a healthy lifestyle for years to come. For more information, please call 713-464-0236 or visit us at our website at www.miraclemedicalclinic.com. The Miracle Medical Clinic, where preventive healthcare is waiting for you.
Get off the grid and step inside your heart. Sister Jenna guides you through a powerful, encouraging, and motivating meditation that allows you to let go and become aware of you, regain strength, power, and peace.
Martin Luther King was a preacher man. He fought the system and the Ku Klux Klan. Served his time down in Birmingham. Fighting all his life, he never raised a hand. August 28, 1963, he said, I have a dream for equality, for brotherhood and justice for you and me. This ain't a Jim Crow society. The civil rights movement was a type of revolution. Open up our minds to conscious evolution so we could pave a way to a common solution. Wasn't only dreaming, he'd come for those who'd gone astray to teach that there's a better way. He said, let the golden rule be the rule of thumb to love each other, everyone, so we can win the war on hate before we find it's too late. Oppressed people, Muslim or Jew, rich, poor, black or white, we need to walk a path to light. Coretta Scott King was his foundation, a loving wife who helped a man rock a nation. So we sing in celebration, Dr. Martin Martin Luther King. Dr. Martin
Hello, everyone, and welcome to America Meditating Radio. Was that powerful? That was Eve of Eden by Eliza Hava, and it's dedicated to our incredible brother, Martin Luther King Jr. Reverend Al Sharpton had his walk over the weekend as well in Washington, D.C., and despite extremely challenging weather conditions, there were still diehard individuals that are basically feeling a great sense of internal urgency that it's just not the age, it's not the time to sit back or just to tweet out your frustrations or your messages or to Facebook what you think you want to do to make a change. I know that for many of us who put a message out there, we think that we've done our bit, we've made our contribution, but I am really urging everybody, get signed up to your members of Congress, to what's going on in your district, and make sure laws aren't being passed behind your neck, behind you, without you knowing. Remember, leaders will go where the people go. And so don't ever begin to think that you don't have the power, and don't let anybody's aggressive behavior, aggressive mentality silence you. If that was the case, Martin Luther King would have not been able to stand tall amidst all the adversities, amidst all of the political bullying that he went through back in the days, and give us the opportunity that we have today, minorities, blacks, white immigrants, whatever. But individuals that seem to be less than in terms of the definition of others, who basically study their scriptures or study their books or study history and continue to find their sense of superiority based on either their religion, their land, their country, their language, the color of their skin, the color of their flag, the design of their flag. This is such a profound time to not only wake up our inner spirit, to wake up the soul, to wake up the being, and return to a place of virtuosity, return to a place of values, return to a place of God's divinity, God's image. When you basically read a book that can sometimes perhaps have you interpret a book, it could be a scripture, it could be a text of any kind, but it somehow validates your interpretation that a particular group of people don't belong in the narrative. It's really serious times. If you go back a few decades ago in the time of the Cold World War, you know, where a particular leader felt a particular religion or a particular group of people. So if you consider yourself like a particular group of people don't belong in the narrative, it becomes an extreme sensitive time where we can't sit back. I keep hearing folks telling me, let's wait and see. And every time I hear that, I just want to strangle somebody, but spiritually, of course, beautifully. I wouldn't hurt a fly. But the point that I'm making is, please, please, my brothers and sisters who are listening to the show today, don't wait and see. Every time we have waited and seen, it has become too late. And so this is a time that everything in your fiber, everything that you're feeling, the anxiousness, the anxiety, the fear, the uncertainty, the discomfort of spirit that you're feeling, there is a reason, I believe, that in our souls there is a recording already there. We just don't remember it and we don't know it. Why do we go to psychics? Why do we go to astrologers? Why do we go to numerologists? Is that we are sitting there to tell them, what is it that you see in my future? So I feel that there are certain things that are recorded in our future. And the Hopi Indians and many of the tribal American Indians used to tell things to us that they would predict that something was happening. And something would happen. You've got folks like Nostradamus, Baba Vanga, and many people who continue to say that there's something up. Something is going on. So with that said, I am inviting everyone, please not only wake up and stay awake, but please get involved. And why I'm looking forward to my conversation with Eliza Hava, she is, and she's using her music as a tool of social change. Before I get Eliza on, I want us to just go back into the zone of just a little bit of reflection. We are focusing ourselves, because we are finding our center and courage. You know, I never believe in speaking my truth if internally I don't feel strong enough. I believe that it's important for me to speak my truth when I've understood within my own being that I'm in a place of my own truth. And so I really emphasize that for everyone to think about that. When you're ready to speak your truth, speak it openly and speak it fearlessly. Let's take a moment. Here is just a minute from Sister Genty. Title is Feeling Safe. Take a deep breath, everybody.
Feeling safe. Taking just a minute. Like a tortoise, I move into the safety of my inner world and experience a world free from distractions. I feel secure, protected, knowing that I am true to myself. I experience my true value, independent of the influence of others. I now gently step back into my surroundings.
Take a deep breath and exhale, my brothers and sisters. Welcome back to America Meditating. That was Feeling Safe by Sister Genty on her Just a Minute Meditation CD. Award-winning singer-songwriter Aliza leads the group Eve of Eden, a mystic folk rock band from the Greater Bay Area, and honoring the timeless tradition of getting back to the garden, the band fuses harmonic melodies and driving rhythms to create a sound that is both rootsy and etheric. And if you tuned into the show earlier, you would have gotten a taste of that today. Before forming the band in 2015, Aliza was a performing songwriter, concert producer, and peace troubadour who served as head of the International Day of Peace music team at the United Nations. Her extensive work with Musicians for Peace in the Middle East earned her a Human Spirit Award from the international NGO Talent for Humanity. Throughout her journeys, Aliza has shared bills with world-class artists, and her songs have been included on compilations and soundtracks with songwriting luminaries such as Annie Lennox, remember her, Lucinda Williams, and Jackson Brown. With their inherent message of peace and universal love, Eve of Eden embodies the power of music to heal the mind, body, and soul while staying true to the ongoing practice of reclaiming our natural state. Today, we're honored to welcome Aliza Hava to the America Meditating Radio. Hi, Aliza.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
Loved your song this morning. You're welcome. Loved your song. It brought a little tear to my eye this morning.
Well, it's an important day.
Yeah, I think we're all a little bit weepy, aren't we? Like, don't you find that the nation's been a little bit weepy, but also sort of like, charge, weepy, charge, weepy, charge.
I think that's a pretty accurate description of what I know I'm experiencing, and a lot of people in my close circle of friends are experiencing. So I can relate to that.
You know, a lot of friends of mine have called me from all around the world, and, you know, and people talk about what they're witnessing on the other side of the world, hearing about what we're going through. And I believe, like, I love President Obama. I love President-elect Trump. I love people. I think what's been very interesting for me to embrace is the slow decline of deep, innate, sustainable values and virtues in our culture, and wondering, you know, how to stop that or reduce it, because you and I both know historically every superpower has lost its superpower, even though they didn't have nuclear weapons in those days. But they've lost their power to exist beautifully for its people because of a decline of those value systems and virtues. And that's what's been hitting me. And what's been hitting me is that I don't want to be a hypocrite in not saying that at times I've fallen short with my virtues and values. But when I see it so amplified in front of me, I just want to
sing. I really actually want to scream.
And so I want to throw this over to you, Aliza. Like, what's been your process in these last few months at a personal level, but also now at a national or global level? How have you been sorting through what your understanding this time is teaching you?
Well, there's definitely been a lot of mixed emotions because I have been a teacher as well as a musician for many years, teaching young people spiritual values and, you know, relating to what you just mentioned about the decline of values in society in general. I feel like that's something that we haven't been able to really witness in terms of great leadership en masse. And I think that, you know, President Obama and Michelle Obama have been very good role models for young people. You know, nobody's perfect. You know, I fall short. We all fall short of being the best selves that we can be all the time. But in that vein, I think that when we're looking towards leadership that promotes bigotry and promotes misogyny and promotes a mentality that is ultimately reflecting on the youth, because young people absorb, like sponges, absorb everything that's going on around them and what they see, especially on television, and, you know, witnessing the rise in hate crimes in schools has been very painful to watch and to see, especially, you know, having worked with youth for most of my life. So
sure.
Emotionally, it's a very challenging time because it creates a rift, even a greater rift than we already have been experiencing for years. There's been rifts in different groups of people who come from different backgrounds, but it's getting wider and wider from some level of hatred that's being portrayed as a new normalcy.
Yeah,
but then on
yeah.
the opposite side of the spectrum, you see the people who have genuine love and kindness and compassion mm-hmm. inside their hearts and are dedicated to combating that energy by reaching out to as many people as they can and just trying to be a unifying force for love. So you see both
yeah.
sides of the spectrum, and I think that's why, you know, that emotional state of weep, charge, it's like holding both of those realities in a simultaneous, you know, perspective is very challenging. And then to be able to
find
your truth and your path and how to walk your path.
Thank you for sharing. And that's what's making this such a powerful time, because I think for those of us who are genuinely wanting to be truthful to our own divinity or dignity of spirit, this maybe has been our, let me not bring a tribal consciousness here, but I know it's been my greatest opportunity where, you know, I live a life of spiritual truth. Now, on a national, global, personal level, I'm going deeper than I ever have to go, but Jen, are you really truthful to this? Because then if I find that I'm hating someone or I'm not, you know, empathetic about the fact that this person is in pain, like spiritually, I know personalities, I know energetic body language. Certain individuals, I don't care what kind of a leadership position that you might be in, or maybe you're just a common person, it's in everyone. When you express yourself in a way that tries to silence another person for your sense of feeling important or to remain in control, you're in pain and you're in a great deal of fear. And so you understand this stuff. But then do I still find that I'm true to be in service to that spirit? Am I still able to bypass those negative vibrations and say, that soul still needs God's love? That soul still needs examples of truth consistently to try to help them to heal their bruises? Because it's obviously there's a lot of bruise there. But that's not sometimes the way the world looks at things. So I know that for me on a spiritual level, Aliza, I am going deeper in checking where my authenticity is. And have you found that you've been doing that for yourself too?
Well, I have to say that I saw your video where you congratulated the president-elect for winning and how you honored all of the, you know, you honored Hillary Clinton and you honored President Obama. And I was actually very touched by that because I was impressed that you were able to honor the spirit beyond the surface. And And it awakened something within me where on the night of the election, I was with a group of friends and we were all watching very, very closely. When they announced that Trump had won, this little voice inside of me said, I pray that he rises to the occasion to become a leader that can really help the people. And that was my first inclination, was that prayer of kind of holding him in the light of being someone that actually puts people first. And, of course, you know, in the weeks to follow, you know, the challenge has been to maintain that prayer because certain things that are said and done can be extremely triggering. And, you know, I intend to march in Washington, D.C., and I feel called on a spiritual level to do that. And I think that when we look at the life of Dr. King, you know, he was someone who promoted universal love and brotherhood and tolerance, religious tolerance and kindness. And he wrapped it all into his very, very, very direct activism, where they went and put their lives on the line to stand up for what they believe. So I don't think one has to exist without the other. I think that you can have the vision of holding the light for someone to achieve their highest positive potential, but still take direct action to make your voice heard, to not be silenced, and to come together in numbers with people so that the world understands that, you know, the voice of the people is going to be heard. I think we saw that during the civil rights era, and I think that we're entering a time when these actions are going to become more and more of a regular thing.
And it's scary. It's scary that, you know, the kind of a vibration that we're witnessing today might end up to be a norm for children that are born in this era or being raised in this era. And I think that when we go to performers like yourself, you know, you wrote the song that we played earlier on in the show, and you wrote it about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Question, how has King's message basically influenced your music? You've shared about how he's inspired you in the world, but how come he's been touching you in your music? And the second question is, the connection between music and spirituality, how deep is that for you?
Well, to me, music is spirituality. They're inseparable. I believe very strongly that music is one of the most powerful ways to connect to God. And if you look at every tradition, every religious tradition, there is some form of music or chanting and rhythmic textures that become the vehicle for communicating with God and expressing one's love for God. So I really do think they're inseparable. And songwriting for me has always been a way to express what I feel in relationship to the challenges that the world is facing. I think ever since I was very young, writing songs, it was always, you know, a way to talk about what was going on in the world, that I felt there was like an injustice, or, you know, it was my way of being able to articulate and also emote the conflicting emotions that I had inside of me. And in terms of Dr. King, I mean, it's kind of a funny story because when I was a kid, I went to an elementary school in New Jersey, and my music teacher, you know, my first real music teacher, he had the class do a play, a musical play about the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And that's how we learned about Dr. King's legacy, you know, learning about what he went through. And then we acted it out and we sang songs, and it touched me in a way that I don't think I even understood at the time. I don't even have a clue how that impacted me. At that time, I had no clue how it was really impacting me, but the irony is that teacher got fired because he was too progressive. That's what we were, you know, we were told he was too cool. He was too cool for school. So I actually instinctively, and I didn't even remember this until years later, I was looking back and I was like, oh my God, I did that. That's wild. I led a sit-in to protest him being fired outside the principal's office, and had all the students from our class, you know, sitting and refusing to leave, just like what we had learned about the sit-ins that were led by Dr. King and his friends and colleagues.
Wow.
So
what a beautiful
in terms
spirit.
Of how that influenced, yeah, it's funny, you know, when you look back, you're like, wow, that happened.
It's such a beautiful spirit, and it's even more interesting for me to hear, you know, rumors about rewriting history and looking at history from a different angle so that individuals can come out looking like, you know, it really wasn't that horrible of a time. And this is where I'm saying it comes back to musicians like you, who basically you're using your music as a tool for social change, I think is so huge and so important, because music is a spiritual avenue. It is a spiritual experience. And so congratulations for doing that, because you could have chosen to go the other way and talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll is the only way to go. But instead, you're using it to amplify us to think at a higher level. Any more projects that you have been involved with that, you know, combine music and social justice that our listeners could hear about?
Yes. Recently, I released a tune for Standing Rock called Water to Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And Water to Fire is a song that I wrote with some friends and my producer, who is, he's part Cherokee. And when the Standing Rock issue came up, it really felt appropriate to put this song out. And in terms of people coming together to stand up for their rights, their basic human right to clean water, and indigenous people's rights. I mean, issue has a very powerful intersection between human and environmental rights and indigenous rights. And so that song came out recently, and there's a music video that I put out for that as well. And that's on my website. If you go to eveofedenmusic.com, there's a lot of stuff up there.
Well,
but,
thank you for that.
So, for Standing Rock. And, course.
So you're going to be in Washington, D.C. for the Women's March. We're hoping to have our America Meditating Radio RV out there. So if anybody needs to warm up and get a free cup of chai with some cupcakes, we want to be there for everyone. What are you looking forward to for the march? I mean, one, what's the spirit that you're entering the march with? Two, are there any expectations in being there?
So that's a really wonderful question, because I was at Standing Rock, and I was there on the day that the easement was denied, and I was there when the blizzard came and when the veterans were there. And, you know, I wasn't planning on going to the march, but what happened was I met a veteran who was, in my eyes, he was one of these unsung warriors of Standing Rock because of what he did to help people who were kind of left out in the cold, who didn't have proper gear because of the blizzard situation that was happening there. And he really encouraged me to come to the march. And for me, it was kind of a continuation of the work that we were doing at Standing Rock, to show up in numbers and to be present, to stand for our rights, for our civil liberties, for rights as women. For me, it crosses a lot of issues. You know, it's not just a woman's issue. It's a civil rights issue. It's a humanitarian issue. It's a freedom of speech and racial equality, you know, the things that I feel I try to embody in my life, in the way I choose to conduct myself in the world, you know, and to stand up for the things that I believe in. So I'm going there in the spirit of continuing that work from Standing Rock, but also representing, for me, it's like the tribe of one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's what this country is supposed to be about. And that's the spirit that I want to bring to the march as a woman and as an American citizen.
Right. Beautiful. Yes. And we've got to go knocking on those doors on the Hill. We've got to let them know that the people are very engaged and that things can't happen behind our backs anymore. I think there needs to be like an army of vigilant citizens who are going to watch and be watchers, really, of everything that they're bringing out. I heard by a good friend of mine of Unity Church, there's a guy in Arizona who now wants to present a bill for college students to no longer have the right to demonstrate and for there to not be that power of speech. And they're belonging to a specific party that's in power right now. And it quite amazes me that all of these things that have been under the cover for such a long time is now surfacing. It's been there all this time, because if it wasn't there all this time, we wouldn't be hearing and witnessing it. So the interesting thing is how it's now coming to the surface, what has been at the base of some of our brothers and sisters' state of consciousness. And what it's revealing to me is the deep need to educate our brothers and sisters on what it means to be God's children.
Yeah, I think the work you're doing is very powerful and very beautiful. And again, like, I was very impressed when, you know, I saw you holding that space for the ultimate good. Because I think that spirituality is also understanding how we can influence the spiritual world to manifest in the physical world. So when you're talking about what's underneath and what's rooted, I mean, in some respects, we're basically creating our reality because of whatever's happening in the internal world, right? So even, you know, if there's like the spiritual principles of speech and thought and action and how those manifest into our reality, I mean, the subtle ways that we are creating what's really going on. I think that it's important to kind of spread out that spiritual value system so that people can soak it up into their spirit and then try and create a reality that's a healthy and safe future for the planet.
Oh, that was so beautifully said. Beautiful, Elisa. I guess one thought at a time and one instrument at a time. And I think you can definitely support me on this as we speak to all of our listeners, the importance of you not backing down in the midst of adversity, that first and foremost, make sure you position yourself internally in a place of truth before you begin to stand firm for what you think is a truth. And I mean that if I'm getting angry because you are doing the wrong thing, I've also become a part of the problem. Do you understand what I'm saying, Elisa? So to all of our friends out there, I think one of the most important calls that we are witnessing right now is to be able to understand that my own inner truth is also being tested, and that it's time for us to be able to understand that when we do stand for truth, that we are the embodiment of that. And so with that said, I'd like to thank Elisa for joining us on the air and can't wait to see you. Hope to see you when you're in the nation's capital this weekend and for us to sit in deep.
Find you.
Yeah, please find me. We'll be at the museum. I'll find a way. We'll find a way. And continued good work through music and depth. And let us all together, as we go through one of the most testing periods of our generation, believe that light in truth and divinity and goodness will always prevail, even though it doesn't necessarily need to always scream that, but quietly it flows that in the atmosphere and the society. So we can find Elisa at eveofedenmusic.com, as Elisa had shared with us her dedication to what we also went through recently at Standing Rock and continue to. We can't even go to sleep on that issue either, because nowadays we're living in the age of deception, so we can't really trust anyone. Even the need for us to trust ourselves is at bay. So Elisa, any closing remarks before we say Om Shanti and see you soon?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention on the subject of Standing Rock, what you said about the colleges, they're also trying to make protesting illegal in North Dakota.
Wow.
That's a redevelopment, and that's part of, you know, the not going to sleep. It's like, it's still a major issue. And also the environmental impact statement that was supposed to be started after December 4th still hasn't been initiated, to my knowledge, as of last week. So I think that it's time for everyone who has a care in the future and a stake in the future to start start really paying attention and taking whatever small action or large action that you can take to contribute to protecting our planet and our communities and our kids, imminent challenges. So thank you for having me on the show, and I look forward to meeting you.
Me too. All the very best, Elisa Hava. Take care.
Thank you. Be well.
Mm-hmm. So despite whatever the situations might be, my friends, I can say it's good to turn to music because I love music, but also let's not go back to sleep. Let's not only awaken ourselves, but let's stay awake. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission, and we are here to love each other the same. So thank you, everybody. I'm going to end today's show with Rise by Eve of Eden. Take care, everyone, and stay safe.